You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9, and it's 5 p.m. on Friday, and I am Luann Lineken, and I'm with
James Wrench.
Hi, everyone. So this is Kingdom Recovery, and we talk about how 12-step programs and how kingdom mindset is related to God's instruction in the Word of God, in the Bible, from the beginning to the end. Right, James?
Amen.
And how we could apply it in our life. Praise the Lord. Yes. So we are on relating to step three and how it relates to the Word of God, and it's turned my will and my life over to the care. First of all, let me just say this. The first line is made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. That's a very important line, only because we base all our decisions on information that we have, you know? And when we lack the right information, we usually make really poor decisions. And I think that I was an example of that my whole life until I and know the Word, know Jesus, and make a decision to follow Him by turning my will and my life over to the care of God, which gave me a responsibility to have to do something. When He says, then go, pick up your mat. That was my job. I had to pick up myself and follow Him, my life, my will, and bring it towards His will, be in agreement, union, connection with Him. As He is with the Father, we are with Him if we follow Him. And He knows we're following Him by those who are obedient and love Him. And that's obedience is the action that manifests our love for Him. Right, James?
Amen.
Amen. So if you have any questions, you can always call me. I'll give you my number now. 631-745-7980. If you want some literature from Pastor Tom, I can get you that. If you have any questions on anything that we've spoken about or a testimony, please share it. You can always even text me a testimony, and we'll read it on air, because people need to hear people's stories. So with that, I also want to share that Pastor Tom will be here next week, and the listeners have heard, I'm going to be out of town for a little bit because I'm becoming a grandma. Woo-hoo. I am a grandma. He's manifested now. He's going to be the next week. James and Pastor Tom will be filling in sometimes. And if not, you'll hear maybe a recorded. But normally, we try to be live the majority of time. So
95% of the time.
Yes. So James is trying to set something up where he can bring someone in to really share some testimony, which is going to be exciting, because we're talking about faith and miracles. And that's where step three is, you know, because we are the miracle. I mean, just coming into the kingdom, if you know, I don't want to minimize that, because that's the biggest miracle, is being born again and receiving the Holy Spirit, the power to be able to make divine choices, you know, have the ability, access to them, and be able to learn about them and use them if we choose to. But if we don't follow, then we'll stay ignorant and in the dark most of the time, or not make the right choices that God wants us to make. They might not line up with him. So, and you could always call the radio, 772-221, the radio station, 1100, if you have any questions. Or you can even listen to old shows on the website, the WCNO website. Okay? So we got that out. I just wanted to share that. And now we will talk about how we leave all to follow Jesus Christ, to follow God. How does that look when we say abandon ourselves, when we say make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God? The first thing I want to do, and, you know, I was going through James's notes that I had given him, and third step prayer jumped out at me. So I really feel like I need to read this again, because it's the heart of the walk of turning our life around to God. So the third step prayer from page 63 of Alcoholics Anonymous, the big book. That's Alcoholics Anonymous book. It's what it's called. And we call it the big book. Okay. And if you want information on how to access the big book or even meetings, you can always call me for that too. Okay. Or go on Intergroup on the website, on Google, in Intergroup with your county. Okay, so we are now at step three. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self. So that tells me what my problem is. I'm caught up in my own self. I'm in my own way. All right? That I may better do your will, thy will. Take away my difficulties. And the difficulties are my desire. It's not even, I'm going to say the difficulties of, he says that he wouldn't, that he always gives us a way out of temptation. So the difficulties are the falling into sin. So let me see the difference, you know, the ways out of temptation, Father. So take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. So this is a big prayer, because if you really understand it, and step one and two talks about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, right? So three is now I'm going to, because I know I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm no longer Lord and Savior of my own life. And I'm not, even if it's not me, maybe Lord and Savior isn't my significant other or money. I now recognize, or alcohol or anger, bitterness, resentments, all these things that we were choosing to give us the power to be able to resolve things in our life, or maybe even deal with things in our life, right? So now we're giving it to Jesus. And Jesus petitioned to the Father to send the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, God, whoever follows me, let them come into the to heaven and they never have to suffer. No, he said, keep them here. Right. But send them the Spirit, the same Spirit that's in me. Send them your Spirit so that they can do those things that I do, even in trials and tribulations and in judgment, and even when I'm spit on, and all the things that are coming forward for that they're going to witness that happened to me, that they're going to maybe have moments in their life where they're feeling a certain way and they can endure it and they can find peace through it and they can walk in their healing and the victory. Praise the Lord. Right? So when we leave all to follow Jesus Christ, in Luke 14:26, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life. So even ourselves, we have to put down our own self. Also, he cannot be my disciple. 27 says, and whoever does not carry his cross, his will, and come after me, that means your decision to come after me. I can't go on another person's laurels. I can't follow Christ on someone else's belief. I have to do it for my own self. My faith, it has to be, even if it's just a mustard seed, even if it's out of, well, look, you know, it was just a little mustard seed, and it wasn't really focused on Jesus when I first had hope. It was just that I saw something that I didn't have that was good in people that were living one day at a time differently than I was, you know. And it wasn't even towards Jesus at first, but like we shared about Saul, who became Paul, and the centurion, and so many others, Nicodemus, they all followed God, right? But they didn't follow Jesus at first, but Jesus met them because they had a heart towards something, a hope towards something, and they were...
Because they believe they were following God, and they believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
You know, and they didn't know; they just didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah.
Right.
There's a lot of people in a lot of... When a revival comes, there are a lot of people in a lot of churches that are in wrong theology that
God
is still going to use because their heart is pure, and they just believe the wrong thing, but it's not their motives.
Amen. Their and that's what I'm saying, even as far as a power greater than yourself, a higher power, I still in my mind believed it was God. It might have not been Jesus, mm-hmm. but it was, and that's what I'm saying. Even the centurion, I mean, he's more the Roman kind of belief system, but he honored God. And I was doing that, even though I didn't know God, in my concept, it was God. I had no idea until Jesus met me in my kitchen that day. And I was like, oh, you know, and it's the same experience. I think most people have, like, even... the Muslims that are having these dreams, mm-hmm. and saying God came, Jesus came to me in a dream, and they're converting. You know, he'll meet you because they're devout into God, their hearts for towards God. So God, so it's a door that Jesus can walk through. So, and whoever not bear carry, that means to carry his cross, his will, and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then I wrote in Luke 14:33, because I was reading the whole thing, it says, so likewise, and like wisdom, that's what I wrote, like wisdom, likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So if you want to be Jesus's disciple, a follower of Jesus, you must be, and that means to live, exist, totally devoted to him. That's it. You know, I know it sounds like, oh my God, that's a lot, but it really isn't. It isn't when you get to know him. It's just, it's a better life. And the prize is your life. I was reading that scripture that, I'll read it as we move forward, that the prize is your life, meaning you get life in those situations. You don't feel battered, beat up, and you rise above it. So if you have truly been touched by the Holy Spirit of God, you will say, now I can see who Jesus is. Now I can follow him. Now I desire to follow him. Because the Holy Spirit gives you that. That's the information. That's the desire that he has, that he's going to spirit, put in you. So a life turned fully to Jesus is true devotion. The devotion that he desires. That means that's true love when we follow him. And even when it's in spite of our own desires, we say, I got to put that down, that thought. I'm not going to lash out, or I'm not going to get that because it makes me feel better. I'm not going to drink that because it makes me feel better. I'm going to put it down and walk and follow the way Christ would have me walk. But I need to know that. It's not easy to make a decision based on no information, you know, so we'd want to fill. And one of the reasons why I was able to follow the program of not picking up a drink one day at a time, I can't say I was following the kingdom of heaven mindset at that time, was because I was gathering the information of how that program worked. So I was successfully being able to do it because I had that kind of information in my mind. It's the same thing if you want to manage money properly. The best way to manage money properly is to turn it over to God and let him show you how to manage. Let him teach you how to manage money properly. And the first thing he's going to do is tell you to start tithing probably. Giving. Giving is the way to... sowing is the way he'll probably first teach you how to receive, you know, what it is that you that he needs you to cultivate and grow for his will. You see, once we get ourselves out of the way, things can flow and grow a lot easier. Then we can see clearer. So primary purpose, and we talk about it even in the rooms, oh, your primary purpose is to help another alcoholic and to achieve, you know, to achieve sobriety. But really our primary purpose is obedience to the Father. Because even in that program or 12-step or therapy, the primary purpose is to get the information so that I can stop making that other choice that's causing harm or keep repeating the same results. That's not good for me. So that's what we want to do. We want to gather the information. So where are we getting our information from? You know, I mean, that's why we say if you hang with ducks, you're going to quack like a duck, even if you're not a duck. That's what happens after a while, right? So you want to know. So that's why God said individually seek him for yourself, because the Holy Spirit's the greatest teacher. Even if you're getting the wrong information and you're spending time in the Word, he'll correct it in you. Even if you're interpreting it wrong, he'll correct it in you. He has the power to do that. But if you don't give it to him by spending time and opening your heart for him to correct things and tweak things and show you things, then you're never going to experience the divine power, the wisdom to know the difference in his will. You might think you do, but it's still the outcome is still for you, for me. And that's not the way it goes. Okay, so the primary purpose is obedience to Father, like Jesus Christ, not to the needs of people. Because without the obedience to Father, the helping others is going to be synthetic or false. Because really what we're doing is trying to get something for our own pleasure when it's not unto the Lord. Whether it's acceptance, whether it's redemption from somebody. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to work to try to achieve something for our own gain, and it's not going to be unto the Father.
It's just an identity thing, though, where they just, to be like a sponsor in charge, is making you feel better about yourself because of your lack of identity.
Right.
So it's not even necessarily you're trying to get something from the person. You don't even know you're doing it.
That's right.
But you just feel like now I'm a person.
You just
now
know how you feel. You don't know that you're actually manipulating or that you're trying to draw that feeling from somebody else. You just like the results.
You just feel, it makes you feel respected, like now I have identity. You know what I mean? It's like someone trying to be the doctor. Then they're the doctor. They think they made it. Then all of a sudden they have a crash because it didn't really fulfill what they expected. And that goes in all different areas with rejection, trying to get an identity. But it's, you need to have your identity in Christ, that you're a son of God.
Amen. And that's why even sobriety isn't fulfilled properly. We say people are just not drinking or dry because we're using that to try to feel better about ourselves. Mm-hmm. But when you turn it to God and you're getting your supply from God, your identity from God, your information of who you are and your purpose and his plan for your life, then you can help effectively other people because you're not looking to get something from them. You're looking to pour into them more so. And sometimes we pour into people because, just like we said just now, we want to feel better about ourselves. But sometimes we pour into people because it's the easier, softer way, too. We don't want to be bothered with, let me just do it. You know what I mean? Because we want control. You know, there's so many different reasons why we can mix up being of maximum service to God, really to ourselves. You know, how we can cross it really easily if we don't know him. You know, because he will correct you in your time, in that quiet place in your heart with him.
And she says dry. You can be a dry alcoholic. You can be not drinking, but you're still fighting addiction and you just feel like crud inside. You never really feel fulfilled or joyful because you got all that depression. You just go to coffee.
You could be a dry
chocolate
murderer and just not want to kill people, but really want to kill them. You know?
There's a lot of them out there, especially the road rage.
You know, yeah. You know, it's true.
Now so, I have people say, man, I murder people in my heart every day. It's crazy. They can just pull out in front of me, and I've already pulled them out of the truck in my head and beat them up and shot them. What's wrong with me? I'm like, it's a spirit.
Yes. Yes, that's right. So it's a spirit, and all we have to do is recognize that, and then you can rise above. You rebuke, and you go to the Lord, and you rise above it.
Forgiveness is key. Get delivered.
Amen. So, let me see. Helping service others is a natural. It's a natural result, the outcome of our obedience. So when it becomes a natural thing to just serve, and it's through, and it comes through the obedience to God, because really our primary purpose is to serve God. Other people reap the benefits. He's always going to, because when he pours out his blessing, he's hitting who's ever around, you know. And if he's using you to pour out his blessing, people get served, you know, and they get the results of it. So love is the obedience to the Father and Son that should be our primary purpose in life. So not in my will, my strength, but in my surrendering of my will, my strength, my works to the Spirit of God. He gave us his Spirit so that we would have the ability to be able to do the things that Jesus has done, to do the things that God calls us to do, the Father calls us to do, right? That Jesus has done, that the Holy Spirit will show us that this is what Jesus desires. Jesus desires the Father, and this should be, and I desire what Jesus wants, and you desire what we all want to. So when we're all in one accord, that's when God's miracles really happen, right? So a follower, a disciple, a disciple's life is devoted to Jesus Christ. So get your, and what we get is your life as a prize. You get it back, right? Because our life is not our own. So when we're serving him, and what is life? Life, you know, it's Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life. So we get Jesus, the word, back at us. So the same blessings come back at us too. So Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them, all, that means nobody's left out. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and that's his flesh, his natural nature, right? So you need your will to be able to make this decision. And take up his cross, your will, your individuality, your decision daily, your decision daily, independently. It's a daily reprieve, right? Your spiritual condition is based on your daily reprieve is based on your spiritual condition. So if every day you're going to the Lord and you're surrendering yourself and saying, more of you, Lord, less of me, show me in the places where I either need to do it differently, or show me where you would have me love or give or glorify you, Lord. And he will, right? And then you follow Jesus, follow me, it says in Luke 9:23. It says, if you daily you pick up your cross and you follow me. So pride is the sin of making, which means to cultivate, self over God. So when I'm in pride, me first, or I'm better than everybody, or even if I feel like I'm not good enough, that's a prideful, or the other side of pride, right? It's still pride, but the reverse. So everything has two sides of it. So either, and the me song is what keeps me thinking that I deserve it, entitlement, and that's when I'm cultivating self over God. I'm growing self over God, right, in my nature. And that's the natural fleshly nature. And we want to be in spirit nature again.
And the I'm not good enough is kind of referring to when you think, like, I can't get up and say something because everybody's going to think I'm stupid and go home and think about me all day, or I look stupid, or
they
like
care about
when you think that everybody is
thinking
concerned
of you
about you, whether it's in a good way or a bad way. It's still pride is in there, like, it's really tricky.
That's good, James. So surrender your will, abandon yourself means surrender, abandon, turn your way, right? You turn your will to God. And that's let go and let God rule and reign. So let go of your will, your control. You're trying to be the director of your life and everybody else in it, I used to do that. Still sometimes can fall short of the glory and, you know, like, be like, I got to catch myself here and let go of this situation because that person might need to learn something for themselves. You know, you can't always rescue everybody either. And you want to let go and let God rule and reign in your heart. Let him, let his word dictate your decisions. Praise the Lord. But find out what his word is so that you know exactly who you're turning, giving the keys to your heart, your treasure. The treasures are in your heart too. Jeremiah 45:5 says, and do not seek things for yourself. Do not seek them. For behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as a prize wherever you go. So your life is the word, Jesus Christ, the word of God. He'll give you wherever you go. If you keep his word in your heart, he will bring it up forefront when you need him. He's always there.
And when you read the word, read it as your inheritance, what Amen. You've been given, not what you're trying to obtain.
That's right.
And it will give you a reflection of who you've been made into.
Mm-hmm. So my life is not my own, right? It's Christ. In Christ is my life. If my life is in Christ, I'm rescued, I'm redeemed, I'm restored, I'm renewed. I'm a new person, a new identity. I'm born again in the kingdom, a new family, okay? It's not my own. My life is God's, and it should resemble his divine nature to overcome things. When people say, how did that happen? She used to be like this, and now she's like, only God could do that. I had a conversation with somebody today. He's like, There was a profound transformation. And sometimes it's nice to hear it because, you know, when you're walking long and then you have somebody say, no, I'm a witness. It just confirms. You're like, thank you, Father. Thank you so much. You know, because you can get caught up in like, you know, just.
Well, I was thinking about that today, though, how much you've transformed.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. I just, yeah, you know.
A good example. My friend who came out of a crazy life and drugs and crazy brothers, and his dad beat his mom half to death, break her jaw, and he died in his 40s of a heart attack, the dad, and they got into the Lord, and they kept getting delivered, and then they, years later, they went to lunch with his brother, and when they left, his wife says, oh my God, he's changed so much, and he just bursts out laughing,
yeah.
And he's like, he hasn't changed. We've changed. She's like, oh my God, we were like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you just.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and yes, there's some changes that can occur when you do some, when you're, listen, I was not, even when I wasn't drinking and I wasn't drugging and wasn't, you know, hanging out in bars and my life changed, you know, even though there was some change, the core of who I was still the same. I would easily get irritated. I would, you know what I mean? Like, it was all those reasons, the old man never was renewed, so it would rear up in other ways, you know?
You weren't born again.
Exactly. I wasn't born again. So the true transformation, the new man identity, had no opportunity, even though we say it, unless you're born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. You can't enter in the kingdom of God. So if I can't see it and can't enter it, I won't be able to understand it truly as God wants to interpret it to me. Now I can get information and know things in my mind, but to be able to really comprehend, understand what God is, the mysteries in that, in the word of God, I have to be born again. And then I have an opportunity as a new man, a spirit man, to choose in my spirit, to walk in the spirit and divine nature. I can choose God's nature. But unless I'm born again, I can never have that choice.
And if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh.
Amen.
So that's the whole key.
Yeah. Right. But we can still be born again and not walk in the spirit. We need to be clear on that. just because we claim to be born again doesn't
mean a lot of people ain't born again.
Doesn't mean we're making the choice.
You also have being filled with the Spirit versus doing it in your flesh.
Amen. That's exactly it, because we can be deceived and say, well, I'm not doing this anymore and I'm not doing that anymore, and that's what the enemy wants us to believe. But the true transformation is a desire to follow Christ and be obedient to his word and seek more of him daily.
1989, I prayed the sinner's prayer with somebody, and I had already been baptized and stuff 8 years earlier and went to church and with hangover every Sunday. And the Holy Spirit came on me. I didn't even know what was happening. I shook for 4 hours and I quit sleeping my girlfriend. And I drank one time after that, 1989, never drank again. Just, he did it, you know?
That's right.
And it was a love. I loved him. Mm-hmm. I had a love. Amen. Like it was out of love. I didn't do it. If you do out of fear, that don't last. Mm-hmm. It lasts about 6 months or a year, but pretty soon the fear wears off and you start doing the stuff.
Yeah. And there's also
the love walk.
Amen. Sorry. No, it's true. Because there was a shift even in my sobriety, even though I wasn't drinking, there was a shift, a desire shift in my innermost being. I wasn't drinking for the reasons changed. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I never even knew there was, it's the fourth dimension that Bill W. is talking about. He talks about the fourth dimension when you get born again. It's like you see things, it's the senses that are unseen, the spiritual senses that are unseen that you allow to lead and guide you, you know? And it was a shift from, like, if I don't stay sober, X, Y, and Z is going to happen. Like, you know, a consequence, mm-hmm. or I'm not a good, it wasn't
I
about
have to pick
me
that
anymore.
White chip up.
Yeah, it's not me anymore. It was about, I want to serve an awesome God. And if he calls me to be of sound mind, that's more important than a drink. You know what I mean? It changed. The thinking changes. And that's what Romans 12:2 is all about, right? Renew the mind and be transformed. But unless I was willing to allow him in and surrender myself and say, okay, I don't know what this is, but I want more of it, and start seeking, because we can get that moment of like, oh my God, I love God and everything, and then just go in another direction. So it's really important, you know, that we encourage each other, that even if someone tells you, if you bring someone to Christ, that you give them Bible, you know, to give them directions afterwards, or a place that they can go, or someone that they can talk to that knows the word of God, you know, just make that suggestion so that they just don't say a prayer and then go let the enemy devour them again in their life. It's so important.
Yeah, and I just felt like I grieved him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to grieve him.
Yeah.
When I drank the one time. Because before I drank, I didn't feel like it was wrong. And then after that happened, the next weekend when I went out and drank, the next day I felt it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I, like, heard him just like, no, I'm not supposed to do that.
Right, right. Yeah. I absolutely identify with that. And I think a lot of people listening probably have something in their life where they felt that way. That's the way we should feel about every area of our life. If we're not feeling that way in every area and we think, oh, well, God loves me, he forgives me for that, and that means we're probably trying to, we're the ones controlling it and trying to get something in that area.
He's not Lord.
Exactly.
Area.
Yeah. Because we should, if it's something, we should get conviction if it goes against him.
And I just want to say, though, there's people that are trying that mm-hmm. don't understand spirits that are falling into things and wondering, why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep doing that? And condemning, that spirit of condemnation is on you. And God don't want that either. Just repent. Keep thanking him for setting you free or whatever it is. And just keep thanking him. He will set you free.
That's right. Because we're designed to be habitual, okay? That's the way. But habitual for him. So we're conditioned as we grow, as we're born, we come into this world and we're looking for God. That's why we're putting all this other stuff in the God place in our heart. And we can become habitual abusing the gifts and talents that cause us to want to seek him and want to be with him every day, that habitual desire to see him every day and be with him every day. But we're choosing something else. So all you have to do is say, Father, you know, forgive me. And even if you're, if you find yourself maybe not every day or whatever, thinking about, well, I do that and I don't really want to do that, or I should be doing that and I really can't find myself time or whatever, ask God, you know, how would you have me do this? And he will. And even when we repent, you could always say, and if you feel like, well, I repent all the time and, you know, that and nothing happens, I say the same thing. Start worshiping him and thanking him for the results before you even see him. Just say, thank you for making me sober today.
And if you never heard us talk about this, what we're saying basically is the anointing of God backs up the word of God.
Amen.
So you have to be in quoting the word of God for the anointing to back it up. And the truth is, Jesus set us free, but the enemy has us captive. And if you just quote that you're set free, we had a guy, Luann used to have groups in her house, and this guy called in and he had gotten free of crack cocaine and alcohol and all kinds of drugs. And he says, I just cannot quit the cigarettes. I've tried everything. And I said, just try every time you light that cigarette and every time you take a puff, say, thank you, Lord, that I am set free of cigarettes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord, you have delivered me of smoking.
That's right, because it's been done.
2 weeks later, he called in, and he's like, I can't believe this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm free of cigarettes.
And Jimmy Evans was another one that did that.
Pastor Tom said he did that with alcohol.
He was called, right. He was called at young, I think 19. He knew God wanted him to preach. And that was the one thing that he was having a really hard time putting down.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time he lit one, he said, thank you for making me a non-smoker. And within months, he was not smoking, you know. So he knows your heart. Everyone listening, he knows your heart. So just give him your heart and just say, I really, this is my heart to you, Lord. I want to thank you for giving me everything. He already did it all. And if you can just recognize that in the way you speak, the enemy, when you resist, right, you submit to God's word, say, he's already done this for me. I'm healed by his stripes. The enemy will flee. You resist the enemy when you do that, even though you feel pain or even though you got a report. You speak God's word. That means you submit to God by taking his word, and whatever the reality might appear to be in the natural, you go against it by his spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm, technically, once you start to really understand. Yeah.
And there's spirits of pain around, and you can get totally healed of something.
Amen.
And then spirit of pain can mimic the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not even, say, a herniated disc. But it's not a herniated. It feels like all of a sudden the pain hits you. And if you don't know to rebuke that pain, and you start saying, oh, my herniated disc is back, you'll have it back. Because the enemy does everything to stop.
He's miracles. A legalist. Yeah.
Because you can talk about Jesus to people, but when the miracles come, that's when revival comes. That's what sparks people up. You were crippled, now you can walk. That's what he goes after, to steal any one of them he can. And the more people you witness, the more, my brother would say, if he had a broke back that was healed and he walked away from 20-year drug addict and musician in clubs to totally sold out to God. And he said, if I want my back to hurt, all I do is get up in a church and tell the story. He says, the next morning when I wake up, I got to get that thing off me. He's here every time.
Amen. Amen. So
you're healed because the word of God says you're healed, not because the pain is there or not there.
That's
right. You
are
healed because the word of God
says you're
healed.
No matter what it looks like.
You got to stand on that.
Amen. So that's why it's important to get those words in you and write them down. You know, when I was going through the spirit of infirmity, I wrote down certain specific ones, you know, that spoke to my heart. God will let you know which ones apply for that situation in your life. And you just, every day, you say it, you speak it out. Whenever you feel you think you feel a symptom, or somebody gives you a report, you don't have to say, I rebuke that report to the person. You could, in your mind, he knows your thoughts, say, I rebuke that. And when you say, you could even tell that person, I'm healed by his stripes. Or when you get to the car or somewhere else, you rebuke it and you speak the word of God over it. And that's submitting to God and resisting the enemy, the devil, and he will flee.
And the whole submit to God is funny because that scripture, people, they submit to the devil and then resist the devil.
Yeah.
You know, did you forgive your brother? Well, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, you're not submitting to God. You got to submit to God, and then you have power to resist the devil.
Amen. Amen.
And he has to flee. But if you're submitting to the devil, he's got legal rights. So
right. There's no wiggle room around unforgiveness. You know, if you have unforgiveness, it doesn't matter. Even if somebody wronged you, I was sharing that story. If someone has ought against me, it's my responsibility because it's my relationship with God that I care about. You know what I mean? And then other people get blessed when I put God first, what God desires. I go to that person and say, I am sorry that I caused aught between us by maybe, you know, something I said, a decision I made, whatever it could be. And even if we're not wrong, it's God doesn't care who's right or wrong. He cares about who's submitting and humbling themselves to turn the other cheek. Sometimes we say we're wrong just for the sake of peace. It's okay. Because when you know whose you are, it doesn't matter.
Because Jesus was 100% right
yes.
and owned 100% of our wrong.
Amen. Amen. So admitting the truth about myself is the first step. And that is the first step, right? And then he promises a helper. So I have to get right with Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes in. And then I have to make a decision to turn my life over to God. Right. So hopefully you're with someone, a sponsor, a mentor, a church, fellowship that is walking a path towards Jesus, because then you can get some really good information, which is knowledge. And then you can get some really good understanding, which is comprehension of the knowledge, the information. And then you could start walking in good choices, the wisdom to know the difference. And the first thing they say is when you turn your will over to the care of God, it's saying, I'm making a commitment to partnership with you, Father and Son. I want to be part of the royal family, the family business, what's going on in the kingdom. Let me know in the morning so that I can fulfill your plan and purpose for me to expand the kingdom and add more citizens. God will do the saving. He did it already, right? I'm just sharing the good news. That's my job, to share testimonies, what happened in my life, what happened to people around me. Jesus, shared the story of Jesus and what he's done. So how do we, and it all comes by, you see, if I don't have the right information, I'm not going to believe in what I'm turning myself to. All right, I had to turn myself in when I got many years ago. I was sober, and there was a warrant. I'm saying this on the radio. There was a warrant in New York. I actually got sober in Florida, Fort Lauderdale. I got sober upstate, and then they transferred me here because I was a young girl, and they were like, "Nah, you need time away from chaos." Mm-hmm. Even though I was,
who transferred you though?
The rehab Arms Acres in upstate New York. They're like, nah, you can't go home. You know, God was in it.
Amen. I mean, that's totally. I never heard of that.
Yeah. So they sent me to Florida to live in a community. So I went to a rehab. I went to a halfway, three quarter, and then I live with my sponsor. But so there was a warrant. And I had to turn myself in. That was, I mean, and that's to a person that had, like, that's an example. I mean, I'm sure there are people that probably can identify. When you're turning your life over to the care of a judge, I mean, that's powerlessness, you know? And that judge is not God, so they have emotions depending on if they have a good day or a bad day. Mm-hmm. God loves you. He's never going to hurt you or leave you or forsake you. So if that's an example of, oh my God, that was a very intense experience, you know, because I literally was present for it. You know, I wasn't drinking and I was sober for a while and I had a choice. I could have kept running. I wasn't in New York and, you know, but I made a decision to turn myself in because I didn't want to spend the rest of my life running. And the same thing happens when you turn yourself over to God. You get liberty and freedom, you know, but in such a higher, more divine way. But it is very similar. You know, God does use life here on earth to be mirrored images of what the kingdom of heaven is like, but so much greater. But what I'm saying is it's like a mirror image. So all the examples that he gives us about farming and royalty and priesthoods and is really the way we should be thinking in the kingdom of heaven here right now on earth as it is in heaven. He was trying to use the material and the substances that we have here on the earth to have us relate to kingdom mindset, you know. So it takes faith. And that's where step two comes in, faith to start to hear his word. And only the Holy Spirit reveals, gives us revelation of God's word, makes sense of it to us, who Jesus is, right? So Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, spiritual hearing. Yes, and not only that, we can hear lots of things, but spiritually, we still have to make a decision to listen to what we're hearing. And listening to me is more like the action of taking it and applying it. I can hear a lot of things, but if I don't listen carefully to them, because they might be telling me something. You know how many times I read the Bible and I hear something different than I did?
12. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Like 2 months
not
ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But now I have to, and not only, so I'm listening differently. You know, there's a different thing happening. So, and that's what God wants for us. So Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So unless I believe, you know, God is good and God loves me and God cares for me, how can I turn my life and my will over to the care of God if I don't believe that he loves me? And I know when I first came in for many years, when I say came in to 12-step programs and a sober world, I guess, I still believed for many years that God was a punishing God. You know, and I'm not saying he's not looking to punish me. There is a curse on in the world, in the land. And if I choose to live outside of God's word, I'm not protected. I'm left out there to be devoured. So that's the choice. It's not like he's after me trying to hurt me. He's trying to get me in safety all the time, you know? So, but it's up to me to know the difference. The wisdom to know the difference is, do I know his word over world views, old ways, traditions? And not even 12-step programs can save me. Not even a therapist can save me. Not in an eternal way. Never. Maybe for a period of time, I can do it, you know, and they can help, and it's good to have fellowship. Not even a church can save me. So, you know, we can be a devout whatever. It's not going to save me. Only Jesus. My understanding that God loves me, and Jesus, he expressed himself through Jesus to show me his love. For me. For you listening. If you were the only person on the earth, he would have still done it for you. So that's how much he loves us. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amen.
So the faith, and that's the kingdom of God, is the faith. Like, do we believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that he died, he lived, died, resurrected, and sent the Holy Spirit to live? The story of Jesus is the faith. That's the rock that he told Paul, you see what you did? You declared me Messiah. the king, the God, that's the faith I want everything to be built on, who I am. He said, I am. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I am before, what was it, Abraham and all of them. And they all went cuckoo crazy. They were like, what? He's claiming to be God. So he was very clearly saying he was God, you know, because they knew what he was saying. Because a lot of people say, well, he never really said, I am God. But he did, many ways. So what Jesus Christ has done for us, his life, his death, and resurrection. Bible faith is about having confidence in God's promises and being an example of his word in the flesh, just as Jesus only did what the Father called him to do. And he would seek him to find out what it was that he needed to be doing. Faith in God is not blindly putting our trust into anything, the world ways. It's knowing him through his word, spending time with him. Okay, you have been told, Matthew 5, Jesus says this several times. This is what you guys know through your traditions and your upbringings and your rituals and your religious beliefs and fear and all this is how you know this. But I say this, he says. So he came with a whole new mindset for us. And it, just imagine those people just in that time when they were, you know, they had prophet. Well, we have them now, but I think it was a little bit more.
The Old Testament prophets different than new.
Yeah. It was like they knew God was talking. You know, there's lots of things. So they grew up, they grew in a different way than we are growing, but it's still the same. You know,
like they heard audible all the time.
Yeah.
So the prophets.
Yes. So, and they were like the news reporters of today. We got a lot of false news, fake news, fake prophets. But they were, yeah, they were. But think about it. They were heary. You know, they were the news. They knew what was going on in the kingdoms and the alleyways, you know. So when God spoke to them and they says the Lord, people were listening, you know. Amen. So he says, you have been told. So you have been told, bring your body and your mind will follow. But I tell you, your body will submit to what your will puts faith in. So this is something we have to remember. No, I'm saying this too.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to figure out.
I'm saying this. So we've been told, you know, like everybody says, oh, bring your body and your mind will follow. We always say that. It's like a 12-step slogan. Yeah. Just come, you know, and your mind will follow. But I'm telling you through experience, okay, that your body will submit to your mind, will, and emotion. If you have the right information, you know how to speak to your body. You can speak to your body when it's in pain, when it has fleshly desires, and it has to submit. If you're speaking properly and not amiss to your body, you know? And that's and what you put your faith in. Now, let me tell you, I also believe that my mind spoke to my body when it wanted to get high or wanted to lash out on somebody. It was my feelings that, you know, cultivate in the brain, in the mind, mm-hmm. will and emotion, the soul, that was dictating what it wanted the body to feel, too. So I just feel like that's not a correct slogan. So the Lord has told me to bring the mind and the body will conform, will follow. And it's true. We need to, because the body, the soul and the spirit is the only thing that comes with us, goes with us to when we leave this earth. And it's the only thing that stays with us in eternity, right? The body doesn't. Body really has no power here, but we're giving it a lot of power. You know, we're letting, and the soul, we're giving the soul the most power over the spirit. The spirit is supposed to be spirit, soul, body. Mm. And we walk around body, soul, spirit. So if we could just, Jesus came to turn everything upside down. Turn upside down. We all have to turn upside down. Praise the Lord. So the mindset is why we need to make a decision. If you don't have a different mindset, it's going to be very hard to make a good decision. So we want to get the information in our mind so that we have facts to base our decisions on, right? The mind is the brain, a person's intellect, attention, thoughts. It's our soul, the inner self, all right? And your soul is your mind, will, emotions, your thoughts, your imaginations, it's your feelings and ideas. And your will is the expressing a desire. What are the desires of your heart? Expressing habitual behaviors. So if your will is lined up with God's will, you're going to seek him. You're going to desire him habitually. You'll want to know his way and not your way. So,
beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
Amen.
So your body kind of follows your soul.
That's right. That's right. That's it. Thank you for saying that. That's a confirmation right there.
My blood pressure.
Amen, amen, amen. So, James, do you want to lead people in a prayer?
Yes, if you're listening and you're new to the station and you've never asked the Lord in your heart and you'd like to, I'd like to just lead you in a prayer. If you believe in your heart Jesus died for your sins and he rose the third day and you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. Romans 10:9-10. So just repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And you rose the third day.
And you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
And be Lord of my life.
And be Lord of my life.
And I surrender to you.
And I surrender to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So if anyone has any questions and they'd like to contact me, you can reach me at 631-745-7980. And please feel free, you can text me a testimony, any questions. If you want some literature from Pastor Tom, I can get you that also. And again, Pastor Tom will be here next week, and then we'll have surprise, I guess, guests. And I'm not here, so it's going to be a surprise for me, too. I'm going to try. I have the app, so hopefully I'll be able to listen in and maybe even call in. I would love to be able to do that. So I'll work that out with James so that I can connect with you guys because I'm going to miss everybody. But I'm excited for what's going to happen while I'm gone. So with that, I say shalom, shalom. I agape you. Thank you for listening to Kingdom Recovery. And we can't wait to join you next week as you listen to WCNO 89.9 at 5 o'clock. Shalom, shalom. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph.